Okay.
Very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is it 11th? 11th of June, 2017. So this is our 48th, 6P3R Sutta. So we can now compose our mind, develop the faith, the spiritual faculty of Sada, Virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipano Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musawada viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Pajam. Padang Pajami. Dhammang Pajami. Sanghang Pajami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we can commence our 6 Patria Platform Sutta. Then to page 1, opening verse. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to phantom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, then we turn to page. The place we stop, 244, page 244. Your physical body is like a house, according to Srinivas commentary, you must not take refuge in it, but rather take refuge with your own self nature. Everyone has the three Buddha bodies within themselves, but because of their delusion, they don't know it or they don't understand. Break through the cloud of delusion. This one is very important. The cloud of delusion, your wrong view, your sankhara, your mental stirring, your mental states, your mental emotion. It is just because you have not broken through them that you are deluded and have no wisdom. This is a very important understanding, a very powerful statement. Because of delusion, living beings get caught in samsara. And also because of delusion, they can't understand. That's why they can't see the truth, the reality. So you have to break through the cloud of illusion. And it is just because you have not broken through them that you are deluded and you have no wisdom. But you do away with troubles and ignorance and listen to the clear-eyed advisor's explanation of the orthodox teaching, your own nature will reflect all the Dhamma like a luminous crystal. So this one is the commentary by Xuanhua. Those who see their nature and know their original mind are like a clear sky. So this sentence, I think by now you all should have the understanding. How many of you still cannot understand or comprehend this particular sentence? Anybody? Everybody understand? Oh, then easy. No need to explain. Those who see their nature means what? What is the meaning? Those who see their nature. What is the meaning? Just now I asked everybody understand. You didn't say anything. So I thought you understand. So now we discuss this. Those who see their nature. What does it mean to see your nature? Anybody want to try? Just raise your hand. Mindy, you give it a try. Pass the mic to Mindy.
I think the mind is quiet.
Yeah. Continue.
Okay, my understanding is that the mind is
quiet. Apart from quiet, what else?
No more sankhara, mental sankhara. That's why I can see the nature.
Okay. Anything else you want to add? Any particular thing? It's okay. It's on already.
Brother Teo, please teach us.
Okay. Thank you for trying, Mindy. So, those who see their nature, that meaning is very deep. So just now Mindy was trying to say, when you are quiet, you can see your nature. Because unless you are quiet, the mundane mind, the thinking mind, will be active. So when Sankara, which is the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the stirring of the mind, the emotion, which is the cloud of illusion, is active, your true mind cannot shine forth. Your nature cannot be realized. That's why this type of meditation that Hui Ning teach is very different. It doesn't want you to be deluded by the thought process, by the mundane mind, by the thinking mind. The mundane mind, which is the thinking mind or the conditioned arising mind, before it awakens, it has a lot of delusion. It is heedless. And that's the reason why living beings think a lot. That's why you are to be mindful to observe yourself, especially in life. Even though you can also do it in your meditation. But you realize there is always this mind actively trying to do things, trying to command, trying to react, stir. And this mind, which is the mundane mind, is creating a lot of sankhara, mental activity, mental states, mental reaction, and mental thinking. And if you cannot understand that there are two minds, you cannot break free. So now we come back to the main understanding, like what I shared with you all last time. Basically, you have to understand the living being, you have two minds. Living being. Has two minds. Have two minds. What are the two minds? The first one is what? First mind is the mundane thinking mind. Mundane or thinking mind. And this one is condition arising. So this one is condition arising. This is not your true mind. You have to have this understanding. So the second one is what? Second mind is what? Your silent mind or your true mind. Silent or true mind. And this is also called your original mind. Original mind or your true nature. When you understand this, then you will know how to meditate. You will know how to inquire. You will know how to use the right mind to awaken. Then you will not be deceived by the first mind, which is the conditioned arising mind, the thinking mind, the dependent originating mind, or the Buddha call it the mundane mind. Can follow so far? Can follow? Then what is the true mind? Is the mundane mind, the thinking mind, is the illusionary mind that create all the illusion for you to see, that clouds your true mind, your true nature? Then what is your true mind? How can you realize your true mind? Give it a try. If you don't give it a try, you won't learn. You every time waiting for answer. Understand? Don't worry about making mistake. You don't make mistake, you don't learn. You look at all the successful people, they can tell you. They make so many mistakes. They try so many times. And most of them didn't go through proper university education too. Although they got into very prestigious university, but they didn't finish. So give it a try. Based on what I have shared with you, you should understand by then. Come, put up your hand and just give it a try. Yeah, Pak Masuri, yes.
We need to silence our mundane mind.
Yes.
So that our true mind can shine forth.
Very good. Sadhu, very good. Yeah, off the thing. Yeah. Thank you for that very good explanation. So when you understand that this mundane mind is the illusionary mind that cloud your true mind or your nature, when this is active, what happens? When this mundane mind, thinking mind is active, what happens? You are? You are restless, and the worst is you are lost in thought. Preoccupied with that sankhara, the illusionary thinking, the creation that this mundane mind give for or brings about. Then you give meaning to it. You attach, you cling, you hold, you grasp, you react, and you stir. That's how you become heedless. That's how the mundane mind become powerful. That's how you lost your ability to understand that there are two minds within. So to understand that, you have to develop a clear understanding that as long as this mundane mind is active, I cannot realize the true mind. And I cannot meditate because the mundane mind is thought-based. It cannot bring forth an understanding which is beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why this mundane mind has to cease. But for it to cease, it must have wisdom. It must have understanding. And most meditators and cultivators, what do? They know it must not think. So they go and focus. They go and concentrate. They go and fix the mind in one-pointedness or go into continuous absorption. And that's how they try to do it. Stop it from thinking. But that is still a thought. That is still the mundane mind. Although not heedlessly thinking, but that is held together by energy field. And you remember the analogy I give to you. If you want to train your kid, you cannot control the kid, suppress the kid, and say, boy cannot go out. So you force him not to go out, just like the mind. You force it and suppress it not to think. What happens when you are not around? Yeah? When you are not able to control this mind, like the boy, the kid, that guy will become wow on the side. It will run out and do all the funny things because it's so curious. And the delusion is still there because you never teach the kid why he cannot go out. It's nothing to do with whether he go out or he cannot go out. What, as parent, you are fearful of is this boy go out, get himself into trouble, entangle himself, and make a lot of mistakes. That's why you think by not allowing the boy to go out, he is safe at home. But that thinking is wrong thinking. Do you understand? Well, this kid will never learn. He will never have the survival skill. He will never be able to be independent. He will never be able to go out and live life or integrate itself. He has to learn. He has to make the mistake. But you, as parent, need to provide the condition for him to learn, for him to avoid all those heedless things, so that he can learn the proper understanding, so that he can become somebody who understands life. Then you don't have to worry about him going out and do whatever he likes. So the mind is the same. You have to free this mind. You don't control. You don't suppress. You only need to know that the moment it doesn't think, it doesn't create, then the heedless mind ceases. That is the most important. So the moment you are without thought, you are already aware. The true mind already manifests. That is the understanding. So how can you not think? What did the Buddha say? Yeah? About the mind, the characteristic of mind. Yeah? What did the Buddha say? Dependent origination. How you function as a human being. The 12 link. What is the first 2 link? Yeah? Avijja paccaya sankhara. Dependent on avijja, which is ignorant, arises what? Arises what? So dependent on avijja, which is ignorant, arises sankhara. And what is sankhara? Mental activity. Very good. Arises sankhara. And sankhara is mental activity, your thinking. Mental activity. Sorry. Write too fast. Mental activity, which is your thinking. That's how you become heedless. That's how you think a lot. So if this is the case, if this is the issue, the problem, what must you do? Yeah? What must you do? You have to straighten your view. You have to root out your ignorance, your delusion. That's why you cultivate contemplative wisdom. You listen to Dhamma, reflect, contemplate, develop the right view, like that day be at the Thursday class. This right view, this understanding become your wisdom, yoniso manasikara. So wisdom at the moment of sense experience, it will arise. When you confront life, when you live life, then when you encounter something, it will arise. When it arises, it will tell you, sabbe sankhara anicchang, sabbe sankhara dukkang, sabbe dhammanatta. But because you have contemplated, reflected, so this wisdom will come out. This right view will come out. Then she realized the right effort to abandon or prevent the arising of the wrong thought, you don't have to do anything. The understanding free you. Understand? So when there is no more avijja, there is no more sankhara. So the key to meditation is to develop wisdom, right view. That's why as you straighten your view, you have less and less avijja. What happened to you? Yeah? What happened to you? When you weaken that link of avijja, when you have less and less wrong view, you have less and less sankhara, which is thought. That's how you become quiet. You no longer like last time. Everything also stir your mind, think, react, and do all those things. Now you can just smile, laugh, be with the moment. Think is just the way it is. No right, no wrong. Deluded people do deluded things. So you no longer react. You no longer become reactive, emotional. You no longer like become unhappy over small, small things. Or even major issue like health problem, financial problem, relationship problem, the first noble truth reality. You no longer react anymore because you know these are the reality of life and existence. Reality means what? Each and every form and mind that arise must confront if you live long enough. So when you confront them with understanding, what happens? You cease to have the normal reaction of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. You are no longer like before. Not afflicted anymore. That's why you don't go and think anymore. You don't go and worry anymore. You just do what you have to do. That's how meditation progresses. But the trouble with human beings is the meditator try to know. Have I progressed? And who is the meditator? Huh? Who is the meditator? The thought. So the thought will ask questions. That's why a lot of people are trapped in thought. And a lot of people who progress also get trapped in this thought. That's why I told many Kayanamita, it's still the thought. If you are not careful, it will come through the back door and it will deceive you again. So what happens when this thought arises? Am I doing it correct? Have I realized what the Buddha stated or what Brother Teo shared? That is a craving, craving to know, craving to establish whether you have done it correctly or not. And this is all mental hindrance. Craving is a sensual desire, a desire to know, to progress, to become, to realize. This is all craving in various subtle forms. And it's still a craving. Because the Buddha said, truth is to be realized. And it will stand up to investigation. And the moment you realize, it's pachetang. Can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. No need to check. No need to reconfirm. It just happened. That's why the thought has to be completely silent. Otherwise, you cannot understand. So, when you are meditating or cultivating, don't try to know. Just do. The only check is whether your straightening of view, your right view, your wisdom has developed or not. If it has not developed, it has become quiet and peaceful because of energy field, then you have to be careful. Then that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. It has to be a free mind. So now we come back to the question. If I know, without thought, I'm already aware, mindful, there is nothing to cloud me. There is no mundane mind to create the cloud of illusion. You know what is this cloud of illusion? These are the thinking, the sankhara, the mental, everything that your mind can do. When you create this, it's like cloud that cloud your nature. So your true mind, which is your nature, cannot shine forth. That's why the whole of meditation is to just understand this. The moment I'm aware, I'm without thought. So what the Buddha teaches is very simple. If you don't have the right view, if you have not developed the understanding of his teaching, which is the Buddha Dhamma, sankhara will be there, thinking will be there, heedlessness will be there, the mental hindrance will be there. That's why this is the one that prevents living beings from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, developing the silent mind, the meditative mind. So when you understand that this is the one that prevents you from becoming peaceful, aware, from realizing the silent mind, what must you do? What must you do? You must develop the opposite five, which is the spiritual faculty, to help you overcome the hindrance. Then without the hindrance, you can be mindful, you can be peaceful, you can be aware, you can realize your true mind. Then through that silence, you can develop right view, right understanding, or wisdom. You can awaken to the truth. And that is what meditation is all about. So that's like the whole of the spiritual faculty that you have to develop is, finally, from sadha, virya, you have to develop sati, wisdom. And it's the first factor of enlightenment. That's why without sati, you cannot move. Without sati, the second factor of enlightenment cannot arise. You cannot investigate the Dhamma. And without sati, you cannot be mindful of your thought process. You cannot investigate into your five aggregate of form and mind. You cannot see how the teaching, the final summary of the First Noble Truth, the Buddha said, in short, it is due to your self-delusion that condition you to grasp, cling, and hold to the five aggregate of form and mind as the me and the I. That is the cause of suffering. So when you inquire through the second turning, you ask yourself, why did the Buddha say this? Then you give it a check. You investigate on it. If I really cling and hold to this five aggregate of form and mind, which is my physical body, rupa, vedana, sanya, sankhara, vijnana, means my feeling, my perception, my activity of mind, my consciousness, everything that I become conscious, do I suffer? You realize you suffer, understand? So this is delusion. Then how can you break free? How can you develop the understanding of it? Means you have to understand what constitutes the five aggregate of form and mind. Then the two aspects will come out as per what I shared with you. Then you can put to test both the aspect as a human being or as a living being, the physical body and the mind. You attach, you will suffer. The mental five aggregate also same, you will suffer. Then when you have that understanding, then you realize the teaching is so beautiful. So when you understand that this is the self-delusion that the Buddha talked about, if I have this understanding, how will my mind behave? How will my mind behave? Huh? How will your mind behave? Oh, you got no more place to draw. You got red color on it, or black color. Yeah. When you have the understanding, what happened? No, never mind. No, well, I may need to use it. Yeah. When you understand that, what happened to you? Well, I need to draw the five aggregate for my mind. The small fellow. We wait for Miss Lee for a while. Eh? Last time we used to have this black pen and the red one. Eh? Oh, and my back might have. Ah, yes, I got one. Okay, it's okay, Miss Lee. Luckily, I got one black one. Maybe I draw here, huh? So this is the five aggregate. This one is the physical body, yeah? Form. Or physical body. Yeah? And this is the mind. So this is what you call the human being. Yeah? The human being. What happens when you understand that this is not you? The living being is not you. Is not you. What happened? Yeah? The way you live life will be entirely different. The way you think, the way you approach things, completely different. But the trouble with Buddhists and cultivators is they know only theory. They can tell you, this is not me. But when they live life, every moment, every instant, the egoic mind is very strong. The I, the me, is very strong. That's why you cannot free. You need to really develop the understanding to clearly break free from sakyadity, which is self-delusion. And that is the first factor that binds you to this samsara, to this world. You can understand. And how do you break that? That's why I say you have to contemplate and reflect, meditate and understand very clearly why this is not you. Never mind, it's okay. No, never mind, it's okay. I got the black color already. It's okay already. Yeah. Can you follow? That's how you have to reflect and contemplate until very clear. What I tell you, if you don't meditate, it will still be knowledge, understand? But if you reflect on it, contemplate on it, silent your mind, and find out for yourself, then you will suddenly awaken to it, and you will like get a shock of your life. Yeah, all along was like that. How come I can't understand? How come my mind couldn't awaken to it? Then after that, you become very different. That's how you have to silence completely and check. Is this physical body really you? Are the mental form, external form, real? If they are not you, not real, then why did you grasp onto it, cling onto it, and hold onto it? Just like the Buddha say, if you think this body is you, what will happen to you? Yeah? What will happen to you? You will worry about you getting sick, getting old, and one day die. Then if you believe this is you, you will become selfish, egoic. You want to own things, possess things. That's why possessiveness comes. Craving comes. Desire comes. Then you become emotional. You can have anger, hatred, envy, jealousy. Then because of your delusion, not understanding, when you think this form, this physical form, have problem, this entity has problem, there is fear, there is worry, there is anxiety, there is insecurity. Then when you lose somebody dear to you, your loved one, or some prized possession, things that you hold on to dearly, that you give importance to, what will happen? You will be afflicted, miserable. You will become sorrowful, unhappy, miserable. So this sorrow, grief and lamentation can arise when you confront the reality of life and existence, especially separation, death and all those things. When you lose something very important, very close and very dear to you. So this is the cause of suffering, the cause of misery. All of your sankhara, your mental states, your craving, your sensual desire, your ill will, your greed, your hatred, and your delusion come from this delusion. When you break this, means you have the right understanding. You start off by developing the contemplative wisdom. You contemplate and reflect, like what the Buddha said. 5 daily contemplation. Every day you have to reflect and contemplate. The first 3 contemplation is about your physical body. What did the Buddha say? How do you contemplate? This body of mine is of the nature to grow old, get sick, and finally die. And why did he say that? People only chant that, but they didn't go into the actual understanding and solution. When you just say that, you don't have the real understanding yet, understand or not? Because the meaning is very deep. What the Buddha meant is, this physical body of yours doesn't belong to you, understand or not? It's made up of the 4 elements. That's why he taught the 4 elements. And it's dependent on originating, condition arising. That's why the 32 parts, when the parts come together, it forms a human body. That's like the bullock cart. When the parts come together, then the bullock cart arises. When these organs and the 32 parts come together, the human being arises. The living being arises. And this is condition arising, causal phenomenon. Not real, not you. That's why it goes the way of nature. It's only element, no knowing. That's why he said, reflect, contemplate this body of mine. It's of the nature to grow old, get sick, and die. Because it is not me. It's made up of element, made up of parts. It goes the way of nature. Not only you. Every living being has to confront that same reality. So when you experience all its sickness and pending there, you have two choices, the Buddha said. One, develop the wisdom before you confront. Means contemplate with the wisdom so that you can confront them with wisdom, understanding, so that you are not afflicted. You are not affected. So that your mind can remain peaceful and calm, like the Buddha said. When the body is sick, when the body goes through all this, getting old, when all your senses are failing you, when you experience the byproduct of getting old or going through the experience of aging, then when things go wrong, you experience disease, sickness or injury impending there, you will not suffer. Because you have two choices. React to it and become miserable, thinking that it's you. But if it's not me, then the whole understanding is different. Means this physical body of mine is karmically conditioned out through karma, through condition arising state, for me to come, for my nature to come, to use it, to live life, to move around, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. Then you use, understand? It's a tool and a vehicle for you to use. So use it without having to worry about it, because it's not you. And this is the deep understanding that you have to realize in your meditation, that it's not you. And you can experience that, because when you silence your mind, you can see clearly, like the Buddha said, the body is just the body, the form is the form, the consciousness is the consciousness. That's like body is just the body, mind is mind, mind never the body, body never the mind. That's what my teacher taught me. The moment he said that, I silenced my mind, I realized that, then my understanding become different. Then after that, he add on one more sentence. He said, mind is more important. We choose to take care of mind. Because like the Buddha said, our mind is a forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. Then Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 explain very clearly. If you don't take care of mind, you become heedless. Then you will act, speak and think with a heedless mind. Because you don't care. You don't have the right understanding. You are not determined to understand life, to find out, to really meditate and become heedful. So if you are heedless, then he said you will act, speak and think like a heedless mind. Born of the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, then suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follows the hoof. And that is the direction of most living beings. But if you have the understanding that this mind is so important, you choose take care of mind and become mindful, heedful, to avoid all evil, do good and purify this mind. Then what will happen to you? Then the Buddha said you will act, speak and think with a heedful mind, which is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. Then happiness will follow you like the shadow that never leave you. And this is the teaching. This is the Dhamma. Then you determine to avoid Dhammapada verse 1. You determine to train your mind to be aware, to be heedful. If you do this, you will realize the truth. You will awaken. And you will not become like before, deluded. Then this right view, this understanding will always be with you, and you can confront life beautifully. That's how you slowly develop the straightening of the view through all the teaching that he has taught you. But if you just listen and think you know, take it as knowledge and don't reflect, contemplate and go into the meditative silence to understand all this, whatever you understand is knowledge. It will not help you when it comes to true happening.
When you confront this reality, you realize you still have fear. You still don't have that strong faith to understand this teaching. You only got the theory, the knowledge. And that knowledge also not strong. That's why you got doubt. Then you got fear. You got anxiety. Then you don't know what this is all about. Then to you, death is like something very, very fearful. Very difficult to come to term with. Very difficult for you to confront. So all this is what the teaching is all about. You have to go into it, reflect, contemplate, then silence your mind to find out. And when you can really understand and awaken to all this, then all the five daily contemplation become very, very clear to you. Then your understanding of the teaching, which the Buddha called wisdom, yoniso manasikara, means wisdom at the moment of sense experience. Yeah. Manasikara is attention. Yeah. Yoniso is wisdom at the moment of attention or sense experience. So all this is what the teaching is all about, and it's very important. So when you understand that this form and mind is not you, you will straighten your view. You will have less and less of this, what they call wrong thought. Wrong thought to condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, your insecurity, your whatever sankhara or mental activity. That's why you think less. Your mind has clarity. There is more peacefulness, quietness, silence. That's how Mindy just now shared. The mind will become quiet, peaceful. Not until you can have the silent mind. You can never, never realize your true nature. So this part of the teaching, break through the cloud of illusion. It is just because you have not broken through them that you are deluded and you have no wisdom. But if you do away with troubles and ignorance, means the ignorant and your so-called attachment or problem or troubles, and listen to the clear-eyed advisor's explanation of the orthodox teaching, which is winning. The clear eye means the enlightened one. Your own nature will reflect all Dhamma like a luminous crystal. There is clarity. Yeah. It will reflect all Dhamma, all truth. Yeah. Then those who see their nature, you will have that ability. Those who see their nature means you are no longer deluded by the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the sankhara, and knows their original mind. Are like a clear sky. Clear sky means what? No more cloud, understand? Nothing to obscure you. Then what happened? The heart become calm. All suffering or worries or anxiety or restlessness goes away. Then the mind still. That is the true mind. Because heaven has got no cloud. And that is the meaning. Not until you can have that mind is still the cultivation part. But the moment you realize your mind can become like that, really, no thought, nothing, no cloud. It's just aware. Inside, no movement, nothing. Completely free. And you understand what sankhara is, what the form and mind is, what the world is, what the conditioned world, the phenomenal world is. Then the other part that you have to understand is just now about the five aggregate of form and mind. I didn't finish the second part. The first part is, you know, it's not you, not real. Because this is condition arising, karmically conditioned, impermanent, leading to suffering. So non-self, empty. But there is another aspect that you have to understand, because within the conditioned world, it has its own reality. It has its own existential rules or law, nature's law, to govern all this conditioned arising entity. So this form and mind, like the Buddha mentioned in the fifth contemplation, he reminded you, you are all born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. So when the Buddha mentioned it, he is referring to the form and mind, the five aggregate, the so-called human being, the living being. If you understand what he said, what must you do? Yeah? You cannot ignore this fellow. No. You understand? No? You cannot just say, hey, the Buddha said impermanent, la, empty, la, not me, la, non-self. La. So when I kill, I don't kill because I don't exist. You go and have this type of wrong thought, you finish. But the law of karma recognizes evil action, recognizes right and wrong, recognizes relationship. Even though in the ultimate truth, ultimate reality, there is no such thing. That's why in the Heart Sutta it's mentioned very clearly, in true emptiness, everything ceases to be, no old age, no disease, no sickness, no death, no vulnerable truth though. And all those enlightenment, awakening, realize it, don't exist. But that is the unconditioned Dhamma. But within the conditioned Dhamma, the conditioned world, there is such thing as law of karma. That's why this form of mind must take care of karma. It must do its duty, which means without the wisdom, it becomes heedless, it gets entangled, and through karmic negativity, your karmic nature will fall. That's why you suffer. Every life you come, you have to pay back this karmic debt, karmic friction. But when you develop the Dhamma understanding, the wisdom part connected to it, this form of mind become different. It will still do its duty. It will still have love and compassion. It will still know how to avoid all evil and do good, because this is understanding that the form and mind has its own reality. That's why it doesn't mean the enlightened being is completely free to do what they like. They have the wisdom not to be so deluded. That's why they still take care of this form and mind. That's how you can make full use of it to live life. But you will not attach. That's what the fifth patriarch taught Huining. You must come to that awakening, that realization, that this mundane mind, conditioned arising mind, thinking mind, you must know how to use it, and yet not to be attached to it through delusion. That is the real Dhamma. That's why when Huining heard that, he came to great awakening. And this is to understand life, to live life. Otherwise, you are still far away from the awakening that the Buddha mentioned. When you think you already enlightened, you think you got knowledge of all this impermanent, suffering state, non-self, this is not me, not I, then you simply do things. The embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path not there. And you think that is the enlightenment? No, that is knowledge. That still is far away from what the Buddha wants to teach. That's why to really have the understanding, the awakening, you must check. Whatever meditation you do in the name of meditation, or whatever experience that you may come across, or fantastic meditation, meditative mind state, as long as it does not bring you back to the Noble Eightfold Path, understanding or cultivation, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So it's not just about understanding the silent mind and all those things, awakening, and then not understanding who are you, what are you. This form of mind, even though not real, dependent originating, not you, but is part of your karmic nature is one of the vehicle and the tool that you need to arise in this existential world. That's why each and every of the segmented life that you come, even they are not you, but they are your vehicle and tool for you to perfect yourself, cultivate yourself, and develop the fulfillment of your vow and all those things. That's how it has its role, its places, its understanding. And this one is not taught in the commentary. That's why I want you to have this understanding. Okay? Now you can understand. Huh? Can understand? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. This is very important. When you have this understanding, then only you can see the fruit of your cultivation. Otherwise, you are still blur. Blur means what? You think you know, but you cannot live it. But there are some kayamita who already have that understanding. So, if you can have that understanding, my nature really rejoins. And this is something that is not difficult. Not difficult. Because all the teaching is there, all the sharing is there, it's just getting it right. Like what Mimi has done, write them down. After you have listened, contemplated, reflected, then you write it down. If you can write it down and express it out, means it is quite stable already. Otherwise, you cannot write it down. Initially, you can refer to book, of course, or refer to the transcript or the notes. Or you start to write it down. Then you can recall some, you cannot recall the rest. Never mind. Later on, meditate again, contemplate, reflect again. Then as it stabilizes, write it down again. Then you realize you can write more detail. Then later on, you can link everything. Yeah. And finally, if you do the homework, which I advise you all at the Cameron Highland Retreat when we renew our Bodhisattva vow, actually, those vow and aspiration that you take has all this right view and right understanding. You only have to do that. And aspire for causal incarnation for you to have this understanding, life after life, where you have to come or you choose to come. And that is what the teaching is all about. So going back to basic, fundamental. Forget about what people tell you. Wow, this is vipassana, this is what, all the method technique. Forget about it. Do the basic. These are the basic understanding that you must have life after life so that you can continue the cultivation. And if this life you cannot get this clearly understood, what is your chance of having this understanding when you arise again? Especially so when the sasana is no more. That's why that affirmation, that determination, that aspiration has to be very, very strong. The faith behind, the commitment behind, the determination behind, the adhitana behind. When you determine sincerely with faith, strongly, diligently, the way will be there. The seed of bodhi will be planted. The moment the Bodhi seed is planted, you are home. And that's what you have to do. Plant the seed of Bodhi, the Bodhi mind, deep into your nature through this understanding. Because this life, you have great parami because of the sasana, because of the condition. And you invoke the power of merits and parami, you will have this ability to plant the seed of Bodhi firmly into your nature. Then life after life you come, it will nurture itself. It will bring forth the condition for this understanding to follow your form and mind. And that's how Bodhisattva can become successful in their cultivation. If you don't have all this, it will take you very, very long. That's why it can be hundreds of millions of aeons and aeons of cultivation. But if you have this understanding, maybe one aeon, finish. Yeah. Because during this aeon, if you cultivate with this understanding continuously, your nature becomes very beautiful. It's just like Kuan Yin's nature. Because of her great compassion, her faith, her determination. That's why that life, special condition arise, and that Sammasambuddha saw and gave the blessing. That's why she transformed immediately from, don't know, still quite low-ranking Bodhisattva, the Bohemian development. There are 10 grounds of Bodhisattva cultivation. She was, I think, at that time, second or third. Suddenly she jumped to the 8th ground, the non-regression there, straight away, because of the special condition and because of the great sincerity, great faith, love and compassion. And she can manifest that type of vow to help the limitless living being, bring across the living limitless living being. And her compassion is so great. And that vow is so powerful. Whomsoever who sincerely call upon her nature's name, she will respond. And if you are sincere, you have the faith, you seek her blessing, protection and guidance, the nature is so compassionate, it will shine forth and fulfill its vow. That's how you can connect to all this great being. That's how you can develop the real understanding of how to cultivate and how to develop the ability to progress along the path of Dhamma. People may think it's very long, very difficult. No, for those who understand, the basic vow take you along. The moment the seed of Bodhi is planted, that way manifests itself. Yeah, like the one Man Yuan sent out, the miracle of the Chinese bamboo plant. That one, even though as an example, analogy is already quite good for most cases. That's why you have to be patient. Then you have to do it with understanding and do not give up. The one that is too impatient to see result, every time questioning, is the thought, understand or not? That's why don't try to know, just cultivate. And for those who understand, the faith is very strong and they know this way is the proven way. Not only they themselves experience the past Buddhas and Bodhisattva who went through, they too experience. That's why when it comes to your turn, you will appreciate all this. That's why this nature during the early day when it encountered all these beings, it was full of joy, full of faith, full of understanding. And it just commit its nature to go this way. Then as it unfolds, it becomes so beautiful. That's why this life there is conditioned for this nature to come and put forth this understanding and sharing. And because now the website is there, the technology is there, all this understanding can go in. And it can be a very beautiful message for cultivator of the future, for practitioner of the future, for those who wants to have a clear understanding of this path, this Bodhisattva way of cultivation to become Sammasambuddha. It is possible now. And it's not that difficult. Okay? Yeah. So any question? Do you have any other question? You just have to raise your hand, if you have any more questions or anything you want to clarify. You don't have, then maybe we continue, Okay. The next paragraph. When your heart is upset, there is chaos. So this one you understand, This is similar to what I used to share with you. What did I share with you? If inside not okay, outside big problem, understand? Then the best way to check is, I always reminded you all, whenever you are not peaceful, not happy, the evil roots are there. That's why here it's said in another word. When your heart is upset, means what? You are not happy. You are not peaceful. Then what happened? The evil roots are there. That's why there is chaos. But when your mind is calm and resolved, resolve means what? When you have the faith, when you are very strong in your resolve to go this way, you got no more doubt. Everything becomes auspicious. Now you understand. That's why a lot of living beings, I find it very funny, you know. They got so much of this belief system and rites and ritual, you know. Wow, brother, today very auspicious, you know, like Chinese New Year. What day, what time you must go to the bank and bank in money, or all these funny things. You go and believe, Jie Chai Sen, you really look at the clock and the time, then get ready with all the incense and everything. You don't take care of karma, I tell you. Whatever you do is your own delusion, your foolishness. So all this, every day, every moment, every instant is auspicious for the cultivator of the way who has the Dhamma, understand? Whether it's auspicious or not auspicious depends on your karma, understand? Your karmic nature, your spiritual nature, your understanding. It has got nothing to do with all this feng shui and other things. They play a very small role, but the main one is still karma. 99.999% is all karma. You don't take care of karma, I tell you. I wish you luck for doing all those things. Maybe because past life you also like them, deceive and cheat people. So this life you go back and see the same fortune teller. You will see the same medium. The same people who last time you were one of them. Who deceive and cheat people. So this is what law of karma is all about. You reap what you sow. Do good begets good. Do evil begets evil. You deceive people before. This life you come. The condition is you will go back and look for all these people who will cheat you and deceive you. Yeah, this is what you did to people in the past. Then as a professional, when you come, you can be a doctor. You can be a teacher, or you can even become a lawyer, or an engineer, accountant, or whatever. If you are not ethical, you don't have the moral understanding, the Dhamma understanding, and you simply do things, cheat and deceive people, and create so much suffering and misery for people. When the karma hit back, when there is condition, you will end up becoming the victim of all this unscrupulous doctors, teachers, lawyers, engineers, and accountants. You will get back the same reward because this is the result of what you did to people. So avoid all evil. Do good. Develop wisdom or purify your mind. This is the advice of all Buddhas. And when you do that, your nature becomes beautiful. Life after life, you become beautiful. You will not get yourself into trouble. You never cheat, never harm. You uphold the teaching, the Noble Eightfold Path. You have right speech, right action, right thought. You are very kind, very compassionate, very sincere, very honest, very loving, very wise, helpful. When you are good to people, in future when you come, people will be good to you, kind to you. You help people to go through life free from their suffering. In future, you will have condition to meet up with the wise who will also teach you the right teaching to free your mind, to bring forth the condition for you to come out of the suffering situation that you may be confronting. So all this can become very clear when you understand the nature's law that governs life and existence, especially the law of karma. Then we go on with the poem. The pure heart, like the moon in water. The quiet mind, like a cloudless sky. True wealth the mind stop, thought cut off. So this is the way they express it through their poem. I think the Mandarin version should be more beautiful, because sometimes the translation into English become distorted a bit. Can read me the Mandarin one or not? Read through the Mandarin. Well, this English translation is sometimes not so accurate. Especially Malaysian language. You translate into English, you can get a totally different understanding. We all hear, break no eat also got break bo jia. So you translate direct, it becomes funny. A foreigner who don't understand this Hokkien dialect, break no eat. You mean your break must eat on? Means the actual meaning is no grip. Understand? Your break is not efficient. Can find? Can find or not? Read to me. Just read to me. Oh, Amy got the Mandarin one. You go for the sutta. Once you find the sutta, can read to me? You search for the sutta first. Use the mic, use the mic.
Xin qing shui xian ye, yi ding tian wu yun.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, lah, cloudless sky is correct. You see, eating, the meaning, and the quiet mind is different, no? Ting is samadhi, you know. Eating, tian wu yun, you know. The moment you are in samadhi, there is no thought, understand? That's why cloudless sky. But this one say, the quiet mind, you know. Quiet mind means what? Don't talk. Understand? That mind may not be quiet. It may still be chattering. Understand? No. That one is the first part, the pure mind.
That means
the pure heart.
Pure mind, when the mind is clear, it's like you can see the moon
in
the water.
In the water. That one is correct. I'm talking about the second one. But the English word is wrong. The quiet mind. Like a cloudless sky. You don't get the meaning in it. That's how I read. I suspect it's really not accurate. What is a quiet mind? Quiet mind means don't talk. Understand? When the school teacher say keep quiet, means what? Don't talk. But inside chattering. Commenting. So that is not samadhi. The mind that is in stillness or samadhi, that's like eating. Quiet can have chattering, understand? The mind is still chattering, although it is not talking, understand? There is still movement. Which is very good. Then continue, there's the last part. Continue the last part. You didn't read the last part. I'll read the whole thing again.
Xin qing shui xian ye.
Yeah.
Yi ding tian wu yun.
Yeah.
Xin zi nian jue zhen fu gui. Shi yi duan jing zhen fu tian.
Oh, very good. Sadhu. That's why when you read the Mandarin, it's very different. But after I hear the Mandarin, I can explain the English to you now. Because the meaning is very profound. But when I read the English word, I know the Dhamma is not like that one. Because they try to use the direct translation. They try their best, actually. But if you listen to the Mandarin, the meaning is different. It's different. So the first part, he say, when your heart is pure, not the pure heart. When your heart is pure means when it has wisdom, understand? That's why you say the pure heart. What is the meaning of the pure heart? When the heart is pure, it's different from the pure heart. Now, pure heart means very pure like your heart. So what? But when your heart is pure, means without all those delusion, defilement, and all those things, that is the pure. The heart is pure. It's not the pure heart. Like you say, good heart, no use on. Good is not the real one. Good according to you. Pure means really pure, stainless, without other thing. So the pure heart, you should translate it, when the heart is pure, it's like the moon in the water. Because it's a reflection of your true nature. You know what is a reflection? Yeah? The moon in the pond or in the water, is it the true moon? It's not, it's a reflection, isn't it? So when this heart is pure, it's like the moon in water. Because it's a reflection of your true nature, understand? You understand? It's like the pure mind, that nature, it cannot come out and live life, understand? It don't have defilement, nothing. You cannot even talk about it. It's not a being. That's why you cannot come out and live life. Although you say it's your nature. But you have to understand, the heart, when it's pure, means when the mind, the true mind, which is like that, and when you use it to live life, means with that wisdom, is free of defilement. And this is not the true nature. But this is a reflection of what their true nature is. Because it's connected to their wisdom. That's why this mind now can live life. That's why it's a reflection of that nature. It's not that nature. But it's beautiful. Beautiful. So when the heart is pure, it has that essence. It has. This one is the living one. This one can be used by the form and mind to live life. So the form and mind with the wisdom and the understanding can have a heart that is pure, where it's connected to the wisdom. So this form and mind, the mundane mind, is not capable of negativity anymore. But this is not your nature, you understand? That's why it's like the moon in the water. It's a reflection of your nature. Okay? Can follow? Then the second part is the best. Actually, it's not the quiet mind. It is the mind in samadhi. Or in stillness. The mind that is in stillness or samadhi is like a cloudless sky. Cloudless sky means nothing to cloud it. Clarity. Fully aware. That's it. This is true wealth, true spiritual wealth. Then the mind stop means mundane mind stop. That's why thought is cut off. And this is the one that can awaken to truth. This is the one that can meditate. Now you follow. All the while you only hear about it. So at least here, they really express it. Then true field of merits, all passion put to an end. This one is very important. When you develop blessing or cultivate merits, you must not have any craving, desire, or passion, or mark of a self doing, mark of living being to receive the blessing, or mark of any reality within the conditioned world or existential world. And that is the true blessing. So through feel of blessing, all sorts of passion and delusion must end. So this is what the teaching is all about. Then you must end your delusion and greed. Steal the mind and cut off thought. You look at this sentence from the commentary of Xianhua. You check whether it's correct or not. I don't know the Mandarin. You read the Mandarin. What did they say? You must end your delusion and greed, steal the mind and cut off thought.
心子念觉真富贵，失意断尽真福田.
No, that one is over already. Next one. The next one, just continue. The next one. That one is the poem, finish already. The next one. You must end your delusion and greed, steal the mind and cut off thought. Just continue to read.
你妄想心止了，贪念也绝了，这才是真正富贵。真正富贵的人没有贪心，有贪心的人都是穷人。他就有少少的钱，也不知足，所以就生出贪心来。
Okay, good. See, the Mandarin is different. The first part, you look at the English translation. You must end your delusion and greed. Okay? That first part is something that you need to develop understanding. You cannot end your delusion and greed. If you try to do it, it's your thought. Understand or not? But the Mandarin one is correct. What did it say? You read again.
你妄想心止了.
Ah, that is correct. 妄想心 means the mundane mind. The condition, the moment it stopped, then only it happened. You read on.
贪念也绝了.
Ah.
这才是真富贵.
Ah, that is the true wealth. So, the English translation is not correct. He used the word, you must end your delusion and greed. It's not you must end. It's when your delusion and greed no more. Understand or not? When there is no more delusion and greed, then the mind will steal itself. And thought will not arise. So you don't have to go and practice stealing the mind and cut off thought. That's why the English translation run. Understand? It's like somebody try to meditate to reach that state. No. This one is talking about realization, wisdom. That's why the Mandarin is correct. When delusion and greed has end. But not you must end, understand? It means you must practice to end. This is not correct. When delusion and greed has ceased, then the mind was still by itself. Then there is no more thought. So this English translation, if you are not careful, the moment you read, you know it's not correct already. Not exact already. Because the Dhamma is not like that one. But it's okay, I think it's a translation issue. Because the Mandarin is accurate. Yesterday also I asked my wife to read to me on another part. Later on we will reach that part. On the Fahai one, I think. That one, I think from now onward, this platform sutta will be very interesting. Because it has a lot of very profound exchanges on wisdom. Like what Song used to tell Jinhao Deo. So you will go into that. Then the translation has problem. Because the person who translates don't have that penetrative awakening to translate. Yeah. But it's okay. It's not the word. It's the Dhamma. Yeah. That's how you will finally develop the understanding. So all this, if you really cultivate, you can realize what is being mentioned here. So when there is no more delusion and greed, your mind will still, and there will be no more thought. That's why it's just a silent mind, fully aware. And this one can live life. And that is true wealth. Because that type of mind can never make mistake one, understand? The absence of evil is good. You don't have to do good. Because that one is always based on understanding. It's not acting according to knowledge or memory or conditioning or views and opinion. Oh, Buddha say must act like that. No greed, no hatred, no delusion. These are all words, understand? And what is non-greed, non-hatred, and non-delusion? Tan, chen, si. What are they? If you don't understand them, how can you bring about a mind state that is without greed, hatred, and delusion? It's very simple, isn't it? How can the mind be without greed, hatred, and delusion? It must have wisdom, isn't it? True or not? Then greed, hatred, and delusion cannot stay there. But if you want to go and practice to have non-greed, non-delusion, and non-hatred, you cannot, understand or not? You keep on practicing. I must not have selfishness. I must not have envy, jealousy, anger, hatred. Thinking that anger is you, thinking that jealousy is you are greedy. And you try to cut away all these things like sensu, understand or not? Create duality, then try to do away. Where you want to practice non-greed, non-anger, non-delusion. How can it be done? The moment you awaken, you develop the wisdom, greed, hatred, and delusion is gone. You don't have to practice, understand not? Who practice? The thought practice. The thought want to be free of greed. And what is thought? Egoic. Create duality. Its own duality. That's why it creates the opposite, non-greed. That's why sensu polish until it shines, so that no dust can alight. What is that teaching? Thought-based teaching, understand or not? What is the mind that you have to polish until it shines? That is the mundane mind, understand? Deluded mind. That is not the true mind, like Hui Ning say. Originally, there was nothing. Where can the dust alight? And that is the real cultivation. But human beings' cultivation is the opposite. That's why you do that. Very sorrowful. Yeah. That's why later on, as you go through all the teaching from now onward, it's all about going direct to the true mind. No more mind. That's why since you is caught in the mundane mind, then later on you will come to understand how one of the disciples went over and tried to learn from Hui Ning. Because since you asked him, he said, you are the best among my students. You go. Then you find out, come back, you tell me what he teach you. So he went. If I'm not wrong, something like that. You know what happened? He tried to pretend to hide among one of the new people who come. Their Hui Ning knew. He said, he used the word thief or what? Try to steal things, steal the Dhamma. Then I think this disciple straight away knew already, cannot hide. Put up the hand and admit. He said, when I admit, I'm no more the thief. Then only Hui Ning teach you. He said, okay, we start from very simple. Jie Ting Hui, he said. Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, he said. Your northern school. Means in the north one. In the olden day, the northerner are the more educated one. They are from Beijing, that type one. Northern. Then the southerner are like barbarian one. So he asked the student of Sensu, he said, what did your teacher teach you about Sila, Samadhi, and Panya? So he explained, no. Actually, exactly like the Theravada. No? Yeah. Sila means avoid all evil. Yeah. Yeah. Samadhi means, I forgot what he said. Already. Then finally, the last one is purify the mind. Then Hui Ning looked at him. He said, I don't teach like that. I don't teach like that. And later on in the sutta, the moment Hui Ning explained, that student who came actually awakened now. Where he realized the limitation of thought-based meditation now. And the moment Hui Ning explained to him the real sila, samadhi, and panya, he got a shock of his life now. Then he straight away awakened now. That's why if you still practice to avoid evil, you are gone. When the Buddha said, all evil you have to be, to have to avoid, it's not a practice. Understand? You have to develop the wisdom. And what is the wisdom that you have to develop? I already taught you in the vow. When you aspire to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, you have to add in one. You have to understand what constitutes evil. If you don't go and develop wisdom on what constitutes evil, how can you go and cultivate? Understand? How can you be aware? Then what constitutes evil is not just greed, hatred, and delusion. Understand? These are the evil root of all evil. You must check the source. How did these three evil roots arise? They arise because of the attachment to the five degrees of form and mind, the self-delusion. Sakkayaditi. You break that, the three evil roots cease. You don't go and practice non-greed, non-hatred, and non-evil. But since you teach them that one, that's why he still got defilement, got dust. Then, ever mindful, polish until it shines, so that this defilement, wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action cannot arise. Means you keep on, like, maintaining that so-called mindfulness, to be mindful all the time. How can you live life when you constantly do that? Now you see the point. Yeah? You see the difference in the two cultivation. One is to develop the understanding of it, the wisdom. The moment you understand, you don't have to do any more practice or cultivation or keep on polishing until it shines. I mean, maintain mindfulness, awareness. If you do that, how can you live life? You understand? You can follow that path. Yeah? Who is the one trying to polish until it shines so that no dust can alight? Yeah? It's the thought, the mundane mind. That is the one that is holding on to the delusion. Holding on to the duality of the dust. In the first place, you created it. That's why the opposite arises. Then, through the thought, you think, I must avoid all this negative one. I must only hold on to the good one. Very logical, isn't it? But that is using the wrong understanding and the wrong mind to cultivate. Where he failed to understand the true mind. And when you fail to understand the true mind, you cannot develop the cultivation where you use the wrong instrument to go in. And this wrong instrument gets you entangled with duality. That's why if you don't break free from duality, you cannot break free from self-delusion, sakkayaditti. As simple as that. Okay? We will leave that until later when we come to that part. Okay, we go on. What's the time now? Oh, 4:30. 4:34. I think we have to stop. Maybe we stop here. This part, page 245. We just stop here. Then you can have your meditation. And if you got any question, you can ask after the meditation. Okay. We can off the light, and you can have maybe half an hour meditation. Okay, half an hour of meditation. Just relax body and mind, silence your mind completely. You need to develop mindfulness, you develop, you train. You need to bow, you bow. You need to walk, you walk. You need to relax, silent. You just do whatever that is appropriate. Then if you are new, you need to train your mind, you train. Using whatever skillful means that you are familiar with. Then the other thing you have to bear in mind is, if your spiritual faculties are not there yet, then the mental hindrance will be there. And because of the mental hindrance, it will prevent you from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. So what you need to do is, you have to use a skillful means to decondition your heedless thinking. You can use the mind sweeping method, followed by metta, or loving kindness. Then later on, use anapanasati, or mindfulness of the in and out breath, to stabilize your silent mind, your meditative mind, your mindfulness, until it becomes very, very stable. And use that to meditate, to develop understanding. Okay.
Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. This is the mind that you have developed and trained. And this is the meditative mind. So make use of this awareness or mindfulness state that you have developed to cultivate the daily mindfulness, to live life, to understand life, to awaken. The real meditation is life itself, the daily mindfulness. That's it. If you cannot be heedful or mindful in the midst of life, then you are heedless. Most of the time, you are heedless. Means you are not in the heedful state to understand things. And according to the Buddha, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas the heedless is as if dead. So without heedfulness, without mindfulness, to cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, or the meditation as done by the Buddha, you are as if dead, because the heedless are as if dead. Okay, now you can relax body and mind, maintain some more attentiveness. Then, if you have any meditation reporting or any question related to the meditation or the teaching, you can raise your hand and you can ask. Then I will try to explain. Or even just now, whatever sharing, if you are not clear, you can ask. Okay, we will open it up for meditation reporting and Q&A. You just have to raise your hand. Any of you? Yes. Pass the mic to Brother Song. Yeah.
我有一个这个 statement 要 maybe 要你的 advice 跟 clarify.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Two weeks ago, Alicia 有给我看一个 statement.
Yeah.
心随境转.
啊.
他问我是不是 echo and flow 那个 mind echo and flow.
啊.
然后我讲对.
啊.
Then after few days. 我在看 Six Petra 的书的时候 他有讲 对境心不转 所以我就 few days ago then 我就去 contemplate 我想一个讲要转一个讲不要转
yeah.
then 我就 recall 我就 我想到你每次讲 echo and flow but 为什么六祖又讲对境心又不要转 等我去 contemplate 的时候，我就想，哎， 佛陀 Tathagata 的意思就是如来， 如来就是 suchness，
yeah,
就是不转，
yeah.
等到我那时我就再去 contemplate， 我讲到底这个 mind 是转还是不转？ then after a few days， 有一天 morning 我 wake up 的时候， 我有一个 这个 realization，
yeah, yeah.
我突然间想到这个心随境转是mundane mind
yeah, sadhu, very good.
心对境心不转 这个是 true mind
yeah, sadhu, sadhu, very good.
then 刚才 我们在开始上课的时候 你在讲这个 how to realize the true mind
yeah,
的时候
yeah.
我突然间又有一个 understanding 是 当你有了这个 realization 了以后 你来到了这个 three stage of the 那个 wisdom 的时候
yeah, yeah, yeah.
你看山还是山的时候 那个心要转不转 都不是一个
yeah, not important really it's your understanding yeah, sadhu, very good sadhu, sadhu.
But 我刚才还一直在 record 说，我还是不是很 stable to real to understand 这个。
哦，不用紧，不用紧，你已经 actually have the understanding. Except the stability of it, 你自己有那个 like very slight的那个 ，it's not a doubt at all. A very slight like you want to help other people understand.So there is a very slight mental thing behind that you want to express all this out so that you can at the same time let others learn and you yourself has the clear understanding. But that understanding is already inside your nature. That's why you can explain to me how later on all this. But these are the processes that will happenas you go through the cultivation. The realization is from within, deep from the nature, from the true mind. Then that true mind has to manifest. That's why your conflict is always life itself. Understand? That's why you have to understand both the mundane and the supramundane. Means the conditioned and the unconditioned. Both have their understanding. And you have to understand both completely.Then only you can have that understanding to develop that type of Dhamma. Like they say, at one level you look at it, sensual. You think this is Dhamma, this is true. But you look at it at another level, which is winning, then completely different. Just like what I explained before last time, if you look atNewtonian mechanics. How many of you are science students? Huh? Nobody is science student. Huh? Nobody is science student. Oh, you are science student. Then these two will know. You know what is Newtonian mechanics? Newton's law. The mechanics or the science that you learn under Newton's law. Newton's law is only true when the speedis normal speed. But as you reach the speed of light, Newton's law is no longer applicable. We call that the Newtonian mechanic. Because when Einstein came, he realized the fourth dimension, time. You know what is time or not? T-I-M-E.Time. He realized this one is a fourth dimension. Fourth dimension. Time is relative. You can understand? Huh? Time is relative, not absolute. He can come up with a formula to define time.Time is equal to 1 minus your speed divided by the speed of light, the whole thing square. Last time I wrote to you all before. Time is equal to 1 minus your speed divided by the speed of light. C is the speed of light square. This is what time is all about.So if your speed tends towards the speed of light, S tends towards C, what happened to this figure? Huh? It's almost 1, isn't it? Because speed of light over speed of light is 1. Square of 1 is still 1. 1 minus 1? 0. What is the square root of 0? Time is arrested, understand now?Zero time. That is the timeless. So when your speed tends towards the speed of light, that's why they know. You never get old. You can travel at the speed of light, you never get old. And it has been proven by scientists. Yeah. So what happened to what Brother Song shared is beautiful. It's exactly...At which level you look at it? You look at it from Newtonian mechanics, then all the formulas are true. Correct. But when you look at it from the speed that reaches almost the speed of light, then this Newtonian mechanic breakdown is not correct anymore. Then relative velocity, everything has a different meaning, different dimension, because time is relative. It's a fourth dimension. It depends on your speed. So this is the understanding. Science has this. So relative truth got this problem. Truth according to who? From what level you look at it? So what he has actually realized is very beautiful. Because all along he was trying to break that part. Because the thought keep on coming back to tell him a lot of things. Then lately he has breakthrough that. That's why he don't seem to have much question anymore. Then I used to tell him, you will come to understand all this yourself finally. So forget about the thought, because the thought keep on coming back through the back door to tell you many, many things. So what he had realized is something that is very profound and very beautiful, and he want to help you all understand. So I cannot remember the Mandarin word that he mentioned. You repeat that word.
第一个是心随境转。
转, I know.
心随, 那个 mind follow 那个 phenomena.
Yeah, accord and flow.
然后第二个就是对境心不转。
Okay. That one is the Huineng one. So actually, both is correct. Depend on how you look at it. At what level you look at it. Whether you use the mundane mind or the true mind, the super mundane mind. That's why later on you will come to one section where Fahai asks a question to Huineng. You heard of this word, isn't it? Fo jiu shi xing, xing jiu shi fo. Ni wu hui xing, jiu wu hui fo. How many of you have heard of this? Nobody has heard of this. This one, Xianhua used to quote this during the early day. And the moment he quoted it, I remember, is in the year 1986 or 87. My nature inside straight away understand what he was trying to explain and express. He said, Fo jiu shi xing, xing jiu shi fo. The meaning is, Buddha is mind, mind is Buddha. If you don't understand mind, you don't understand Buddha. That is the statement. Fo jiu shi xing, xing jiu shi fo. Fo, ni wu hui xing, yu wu hui fo. When you don't understand the mind, you can never understand the Buddha. Because the Buddha and the mind, they are not two separate things. They are the two same thing. But both have its purpose and function. That's why that mind, but in the translation, the sutta that I read, the English one, it didn't really explain the thing as deep as the true understanding, but it's good enough. But they use the English word which is not so accurate. So to the Mahayana, which is under the six spectrum sutta Huineng, you see, mind is what we call the spiritual nature. If you perfect this spiritual nature, it becomes the Buddha and the Sangha. That's why they always mention Fo gen zhong sheng xiang cha yi nian zi jian. The Buddha and the living being, they are only separated by a single thought. And what is that single thought? Single thought of what? Single thought of what? Ignorant. Because without that first thought of ignorance, you won't fall and become a living being. But when that single thought of ignorance is rooted out, avijja rooted out, the perfection of wisdom, everything perfected, then that mind become Buddha. And Buddha is mind. But then what is Buddha? Like we went through that. When Sakyamuni Buddha come to this world, initially for the first 35 years, he was not the Buddha yet, is it? You understand? He was not the Buddha yet, is it? When did he become the Buddha? Huh? When did he become the Buddha? After he meditated under the Bodhi tree that night at the age of 35, all of a sudden he connect, then the spiritual nature come back. He inherited everything. That's why they talk about the three bodies of the Buddha. Our earlier sharing, the chapter. First is the physical body of the Buddha that performs a function of the Buddha. And he call it this Nimanakaya. Now, in Mandarin, I don't know what word they use. Yeah? Nimanakaya. Then after that, when the spiritual nature, Sambhogayakaya, the perfection that he has cultivated, his nature has cultivated over the aeons and aeons and aeons of cultivation. When that form and mind, Nimanakaya, connects to the true nature, then this one comes and he inherits the whole thing. This Sambhogayakaya, which is the spiritual nature, combined with this Nimanakaya, it manifests the Dhammakaya, which is the Buddha speaking the Dhamma. And that is the third body. Yeah. So when you talk about the Buddha, it is this form and mind of the Buddha, the Nimanakaya, the functional body, and the spiritual body combined. And that one transform and become the Buddha. So that one is active, understand, in the world, living. That's why under the Huining Platform Sutta, he explained the Buddha as Samadhi. Samadhi. Then he explained the mind, which is the true mind with all its perfection, wisdom. That's why mind, when connected to the form and mind, becomes the Buddha. That's why mind is Buddha. Buddha is mind. It's correct. And wisdom and samadhi must go hand in hand. So when you talk about the true mind don't move. Understand not? The true mind cannot come out and live life. The true mind don't echo and flow. It's the Buddha that come out and echo and flow. That's why the Buddha is samadhi. The true mind, the true nature is wisdom. So what Brother Song tried to ask and share with us is very beautiful. Initially, the thought will tell him appear contradictory. Because the true Dhamma is when you have the understanding and the wisdom, you do not interfere. You just accord and flow. Because everything is just the way it is, like I explained. When you are able to have the wisdom to see things as they are. So if everything is the way it is, there is no right, no wrong. You just echo and flow. That's it. Finish. Yeah. But when you develop the actual understanding, then you will realize the true mind never do anything. There is nobody to echo and flow. The echo and flow is because the form and mind that has the wisdom connected to it, that one can echo and flow. That one has got no delusion. That's why it doesn't get itself entangled. It is always the way it is. Peaceful. Aware. Beautiful. Doing whatever it's supposed to do. Echo and flow with whatever nature's condition, the vow and all those things. So this is a very important and profound understanding that living being must develop as you cultivate. That's why the cultivation is not one-sided. It's not just you realize the unconditioned. then everything cease. Then you say, finish, Nibbana. The Arahant can go that way. But if you want to be a Bodhisattva, if you want to understand life, you want to come up back, life after life, to do the whatever work and duty to perfect that nature, then you need to understand the conditioned world. It's not just the understanding, the handful of leaf to just seize the mind. That work demands the perfection of wisdom. That's why in the four basic vows of the Bodhisattva, the third vow, you have to realize and you have to penetrate and realize all Dhamma. You have to perfect the perfection of wisdom. Then only you can have the all-knowing wisdom or awakening, enlightenment. To understand both the conditioned and the unconditioned, then you can liberate living beings, because living beings are limitless and their conditions are all very different. That's why there is no way for whoever the cultivator is or the Bodhisattva to do that duty if he has not perfected itself or developed very, very advanced cultivation of the Bodhisattva way. So the initial Bodhisattva way, you develop the vow, you plant the seed of Bodhi, and that is the first stage. The first stage is just determined to plant the seed of Bodhi, to go this way, to fulfill the vow, to perfect the vow. That is already very beautiful, very powerful. Then, after stage one, you have to start fulfilling those vows and to do the work of a Bodhisattva, which is to cultivate the three sets of pure precept. You not only avoid all evil, do good, purify your mind, develop wisdom. You have to perfect those wisdom so that you can liberate all beings to fulfill the first basic vow. That's how you start to develop the cultivation after you have already taken the determination to plant the seed of Bodhi, the first stage. Then the second stage, as you cultivate, you need to fulfill the second vow. You have to severe and endure, or endure and severe all suffering or vexation. If you yourself cannot endure with wisdom and severe all vexation to free your own form and mind every life you come, you cannot help living beings to free their mind, to liberate themselves. So that second basic vow needs a lot of cultivation. So initially you will go through the sainthood way. You will realize arahantship. Then because of the vow, you can still come back because of your first basic vow. Your pure mind of love and compassion can pull out the pure mind for the form and mind to come again. Then as it comes, you have to perfect the third basic vow, means to realize, to penetrate and realize all Dhamma. That one will take a longer training, a longer what they call cultivation or evolution. Then as you develop the wisdom more and more, you will reach the final stage, the perfection of wisdom, Prajna Paramita Sutta, which is what Kuan Yin has realized. That's why he came out with the Heart Sutta. Then true emptiness is wonderful existence, means she understands both the unconditioned and the conditioned world. That's why she can keep on manifesting. So that is where the fourth stage of Bodhi mind development is. Because of that understanding and that wisdom, you can renounce samsara and walk this path to perfection to realize Sammasambuddhahood. And the fifth stage is summation, the what they call you reach the pinnacle of that perfection, the final realization. Oh, there's a word I forgot already. It is like the pinnacle of it. So all this can be developed and realized. Then when you are at that fourth stage, means you have developed more or less the perfection of wisdom. The only thing left is the perfection of those balance of virtue. At that stage, your mind is very different. Your nature is very different. You understand everything within the condition. Then you will penetrate to the understanding of what Brother Song is trying to share with you. You will truly understand that within the mundane existence, the condition arising world, it has its truth, its reality. There is still a form of mind that can arise and can develop all the perfection, the understanding, and you can use the form of mind beautifully. And to do that, that form of mind has to develop the condition to connect back to the true nature, to realize the true mind. And when it realizes the true mind, it will inherit the perfection, the understanding. That's why from there, it will understand both the condition and the unconditioned. Then whatever Dhamma that people speak is no more a problem, because you will have the ability to see things very clearly. That's why the three stages of seeing as expressed in the Mahayana Sutta on the seeing of mountain, Kan San Si San, that is the first stage of seeing, mundane seeing. Because to mundane people, they use the mundane mind to see. That's why they say, this is mountain, where it's based on thought, based on concept, based on words, expression. But then as they meditate and cultivate, then they realize the true mind. Then when they are at that true mind level, when they see, there is no word, no concept, nothing. That's why they will tell you, Kan San Pu Su San. Because the one that see mountain, he used the mundane mind. But when that form of mind sees mountain without the mundane mind, with the true mind, then he realized there is no such thing as mountain. That's why Kan San Pu Su San. But then this is still duality, understand? The cultivator who is at that stage can still have duality. He can still argue with people. When he discusses the Dhamma, he will tell you, no, it's not mountain, you are wrong, you are using your mundane mind and all those things. He can tell you. But he is still caught in duality, understand? Yeah, he has not gone beyond the unconditioned to perfect the other understanding. But the one that has gone beyond the perfection of wisdom and virtue, or hit the non-regression level of the Bodhisattva way, the eighth ground and beyond, they will be able to have the third type of seeing. That's why they will tell you, when you finally realize everything, Kan San Yu Si San. When you see mountain, again you will say it's mountain. Because there is no more right and wrong. It depends on who comes, who express it, and you will understand it. So that is the ultimate understanding. And that is what Brother Song was trying to share. So we should all rejoice. Eh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good. You got any question or not? I don't think you got any actual question.
Last 2 weeks, 当我在一直 contemplate 的时候, 我一直有很多的 question, 就是那个脉是转还是不转?
That is still in duality. In duality.
对.
Because you have the understanding, but the thought behind is still actively trying to know. Trying to know. So, it will actually, I won't use the word provoke you. Provoke is like make you angry. It's like it spur you to reflect and contemplate further. Then you will understand. That's why you can tell me the answer. Otherwise, you cannot tell me the answer. Because it's different level of seeing at different stage, you see. So, both are correct. Understand? It's just like Sen Xiu, he is just the way he is. If he has not realized the true mind, he will tell you about his poem, the cultivation. That's why the fifth page, he say, very good. If you cultivate according to Sen Xiu's poem, you will not fall. Understand? You will not fall. You can become sane. The sainthood. Understand? Sotapan, anagami, sakadagami, anagami, or even finally arahantship if you do it that way. But that is for the small vehicle, or they call the sainthood way. But if you want to realize the true Sama Sambuddha's way, which is the ultimate full understanding of this thing, then you don't stop there. Understand? Where you stop there, the mind that realizes itself is finished. So this is where the understanding can unfold further. So what happened after you contemplate for that 2 weeks? John, I suppose. Then you have the answer yourself.
Then 我过后我讲, I just let it be. 我就没有去 contemplate 了,
yeah.
Because 那时我一直很乱, so 我没有去理他, and then 我的工, 我的 office 的工又很忙,
oh,
so 我就没有再去 contemplate.
Oh, very good.
Then after few days, the morning, 我一 wake up 的时候, 我就知道这个,
yeah, suddenly you will realize it. Because the understanding is there, it's only your thought come through the back door to create this subtle, what they call, it's not a doubt at all, it's a question, subtle question. John, I suppose John. So what is happening is that duality is there. Understand? So that duality, the moment you create, you cannot cease it. You understand? You need wisdom to seize it. The question is no longer relevant when you understand. But when you don't understand, the question is hella relevant. Because there is a meditator, a cultivator, who is concerned about right and wrong. Understand? And what is that right and wrong? Chuan, Hai Supu Chuan. Accord and flow, or just don't do anything. So that is the duality. Either this or that. But both are duality created by thought, not real. That's the wisdom. And when you understand that, the question becomes irrelevant. The question ceases by itself. But the question comes from the mundane mind that created the duality. You understand? 一切为心造. 造成, when mind arises, everything arises. That's why 起心动念. Do you understand? So the moment the mind arises, it creates sankhara, it creates activity. Then everything arises. The mind right things arise. Then if through delusion you give meaning, lash on, cling, grasp, stir your mind, then heedlessness arises, delusion condition the evil roots. That's how the mundane mind entangle itself, develop all the suffering, the misery, and the karmic nature will fall. That's how the whole process of delusion comes about. That's how living beings fall. But the moment you understand that mind is a forerunner of all things. Mind is cheap. When mind arises, everything arises. So we choose take care mind. Take care mind is to use this mind to understand how you become what you are. How you stir. How through this stirring, which is your wrong view, you get entangled and become afflicted, suffer, miserable. And when you know the cause of suffering, that's why you deal with the root cause. You don't deal with the symptom, manasana. You don't go and practice non-greed, non-delusion, non-anger, non-envy. You don't do that. The main culprit is sakkayaditti, self-delusion. You contemplate, reflect, and meditate on that. And when that ceases, when there is no more self-delusion, no more grasping, no more clinging, all these evil roots cease by itself. That's how the wisdom will arise. And when the wisdom arises, it will know that these are all duality created by thought. These are all the dhamma created by the deluded mind, the heedless mind, the thinking mind. Whereas the true mind don't have such. And this true mind is constantly aware, silent, without anything inside there. And this is the unconditioned. But this is the one that is connected to the formal mind. Provided the mundane mind ceases and don't interfere, doesn't cloud its nature. Then when the mundane mind ceases, means you can develop the ability to silence your mind, to come into contact with your true mind, to realize that there is another nature, another mind that is capable of being aware, then this one starts to develop and stabilize. Because we are straightening of your view, like what I explained just now. You have less and less ignorance, less and less delusion, less and less wrong view. That's why sankhara become less. We are avijja weaken. When avijja paccaya sankhara weaken, then sankhara become less. You got less thinking, more clarity. That's how you really meditate, and that's how you transform. Then when this happens, the mind will suddenly realize itself that all this is born of self-delusion created by the thought, the duality and other things. Then the mind that realizes itself ceases. When the mind that realizes itself ceases, then the whole understanding is there. Then that mind that understands is the wisdom. And this one, no need to meditate. No need to do anything. This one, the moment it understands, the mundane mind is free. We are connected. It's no longer deluded. No longer deceived by the phenomenal world. So this understanding will come forth. Yeah. That's why finally, when you don't do anything, where the question is from the thought, when you are not really interested in it, where now the grasping is not like last time, it's like you actually understand, but there is still that lingering question behind, understand? It's not a doubt, it's the lingering question, because the mundane mind still want to be sure, understand? But that nature already understand, like I explained just now. So that's why, because of your work condition, you will come to understand when you don't pay attention, that all of a sudden, the understanding will come back to you. That's why finally, you yourself will understand. That's how it can happen. And it is very useful for you, because after this, it becomes very clear. That's why all the while I was telling you, forget about the thought. You have to go through this phase. Well, this phase is not easy if you don't have the teacher or people who has gone through. Well, the mundane mind can still come back through the back door in a very subtle form, in a very like sweet talking one. Talk to you in a very nice way one. Yeah, you are there already. But there is still this one you haven't done. You go and create more contemplation, more thinking, then more duality. Then every time you want to be sure, who is the one who want to be sure? It's the ego, the I, the atta, the the egoic mind. That's why that one must cease. But that one, very difficult to cease. Even the subtle ego, they call it mana, yeah? Self-conceit, the very subtle one. Anagami level is still there. Yeah. Then only at the arahant level it ceases to be. But when it ceases to be at the arahant level, you must understand the arahant, they can free themselves. It's just like you know what this thing is. You know how to do it for yourself. But when, just like in life, when you want to help others, it's like very difficult. No matter how you explain, that person cannot understand. Because he has not gone through. He has not developed the understanding. But let's say you become an expert. You have the understanding, the experience and everything until you become so well-versed. Then whoever come, you can also teach that person. Provided they are willing to learn and have the condition. And then you become different. Then you can express it. You can share it. You can come from any direction in the understanding to explain this thing to people. That is what the Bodhisattva way is all about. That is what when you finally have the true, perfect understanding, then you will have that ability. But this sasana, because of your condition, your parami and all those things, you must have made some aspiration and vow before. Otherwise, you cannot have such condition. Because your nature will progress very fast after this. Yeah. This sasana has actually created the condition for your nature to have that ability to go that way, to fulfill that very, very strong vow and aspiration. There must be past condition that you saw this before. Then even though this sasana, you have the condition to come, initially you have to go through the karmic thing. But it's not serious. That's why you may get lost there for 10 over years. But to me, it's okay. Your 10 over years, at least during that 10 over years, you didn't have any serious problem. You still can have the condition to come back, to have the affinity to develop the clear understanding. And finally, after you develop that condition, you connect back. And the moment you connect back, you inherited a lot of your past cultivation. But like I mentioned to you, last time in your past, you have developed this ability to understand the practice. That's why that chanting thing, you have done a lot. You have done a lot of this chanting, the true mind, the pure mind. The moment you hear the sound, the vibration at the Rayong, the trip you went to, it connect. The moment it connect, you actually inherit. But in the past, you don't have teacher and guide who have this type of understanding to share with you and to allow you to penetrate and move so fast. It's just like Huining. He has the condition, he has the past, perfection and culture. That's why when he come, he can teach. And the beings of that time who has the affinity and the condition, they can move very fast. Move very fast. So for you, it's like blessing in disguise because of what happened. You have the condition. Then when you come, because you connect to many of this nature, especially Kuan Yin. And through Kuan Yin, you connect to this nature. That's why all these are the causes and conditions, and it fall into place. And this is something that's supposed to happen. And later on, when you determine strongly through the understanding of the Bodhisattva way to have this understanding life after life, when you have to come or you choose to come, the continual sasana and beyond will be beautiful. Whether the sasana finish or not, every time you come with a segmented life, you will have that understanding and you won't get lost anymore. You will continue with that type of cultivation. And because of that, you no longer deviate. Your perfection, your cultivation will become very different. And then you can finish off very much faster, very, very much faster. I rejoice, my nature. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good. Very good.
Actually, 我要share的是 maybe 大家
you should share now.
Maybe 你看到我好像很容易这样 actually 我 put in a lot of
yes, 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 yes.
我真的是 put in a lot,
a lot of,
effort, of
determination
所以,
also.
很多的这个 basic 的这一个 understanding 我 put in a lot of the faith 我去 strike on 我, like brother 你一直讲 我的那个 subtle 的 mind thought 一直在后面 一直 play the game 哇, 有时我真的是 no 我真的是要 give up but because of 那个 faith 我又再回来 我又再去 strike 我一直 strike 一直 strike actually 我 put in a lot of the faith but with the understanding if 如果我们有 faith 跟 understanding 的话 remember the nature the condition 它会 open up
yeah, sadhu, sadhu. It will unfold very true sadhu let us rejoice sadhu sadhu faith always remember without faith nothing can happen when you have the faith when you are sincere true to yourself the way will be there it will unfold by itself that's why the faith leading to the sincerity these two will open up then you are left with the third one perseverance just do like he said you may think it's very easy for him. He also went through a lot of tests, a lot of what they call deviation before he came to this point. Even after his nature came to this point to inherit all this understanding, the subtle deluded, what they call mundane mind, they are still actively behind questioning him. That's why he really has to go through those phases. That's why in the early days he kept on asking me. He said, Brad Teo, but how come it's still like that, like that, like that? Because it's all from the thought. Then I keep on reminding him, I said, you have to finally understand these are all from the thought. Forget about the thought. Just do. That's why he persevered through the faith, through the sincerity. He persevered. Then finally, I think the last few months, or maybe coming to a year, he really find out himself. And he really finally developed the clear understanding. Because it's not easy. As I later on, I also heard from a few Kayanamita. But one of them is, I think, Alicia. She was very grateful to what Song advised her. She told me this, he said, you somehow got so many questions. He said, if you continue to have this type of question, because Alicia also went through the phase. He said, how come I cultivate? I thought I developed the understanding already. Then now, for no reason, my mind can still become restless. Then this defilement thing can still come back and all things. A lot of cultivators actually gone through that. They expect the mind to be perfect. Understand? They expect the mind no longer have that possibility of becoming. That. So like I shared with Brother Song and a lot of Kayamita, sometimes it will come as a test for no reason. But whatever it is, you always remember it's part of the way. then no more doubt. Just do. As long as you are sincere, you have the faith. Just do, persevere. Then everything will unfold. Then I remember Alicia say one song, the song warned her. You don't end up like me. Always have this mundane mind, the thought behind, telling you all those things. He say, then he say, you are not careful. That one is according to Alicia. When you go and ask, Brother Theo will tick you off and tell you all this. Actually, you don't worry about. I just remind you, because different people are different. You are on different stages, different track, then different karmic conditioning. So different cultivator need different advice at different point of time. But the main key understanding to cultivation is very important, because the mundane mind, I tell you, can create a lot of subtle delusion behind and keep on coming back to tempt you. The word is tempt you. Like time layer, like girlfriend, boyfriend, break up already, come and sweet talk you again. Okay, one, I don't mean it. Then you become good friend again, going through the law. Then again argue, misunderstanding. Then again come and sweet talk you. So cultivation is actually much deeper than that. When your faith is not strong, when your understanding of the true Dhamma is not stable as yet, like I said, even at the sainthood level, arahantship level, the understanding is actually way different from the real cultivator. The real cultivator's understanding is very, very different. That's why most of these people who are just the sainthood way or even arahant or whatever, they themselves have the wisdom and the understanding to free. But the perfection of wisdom is not there. The perfection of virtue is not complete. That's why they find it very difficult to share, to teach. They can share, they can teach, but limited. Because the real understanding is really way beyond. That's why if you don't go through the Mahayana Sutta, you don't know, really don't know where you are. You may think you already very successful, progress, until like, fantastic already. But when you read through the Mahayana Sutta, like the Surangama Sutta, the Heart Sutta, and even the Diamond Sutta, and even the Six Patria Platform Sutta, then you realize the sainthood way or the wisdom of the Arahant initial, what they call understanding, there are still a lot of understanding which is not cultivated as yet, haven't been realized yet, haven't been understood yet, but they got no more ignorant, and that one is a fact. It's not what they call because they don't have any rebirth after arahantship. There is no more ignorance. There is no more rebirth consciousness. That's why they cannot have rebirth. That's why that is the end. But they cannot come back in another form of mind, where there is no more mind for them to come back, where they didn't take the vow. They don't understand this path, the Bodhisattva path or the Bodhisattva way. So because of that, they will just end as arahant. Then even as Sotapan or Sakadagami or Anagami, they are already very happy, very contented. Because to them, it's liberation from samsara, from suffering, from misery. And they are already very happy to have that ability. So in that sense, there is still a subtle ego behind. Very fine. Not until when they realize arahantship, then only that one sees. But by then, after it happened, There is nothing much they can do. The former and mind will experience Paninibbana finally and cease to be. Then you don't ask me what happened to the Arahant, because in the very first place, that former and mind was never him. That so-called Arahant is the former and mind connected to the wisdom, that's why it ceases, finished. And you cannot ask a question, what happened to the Arahant? The Arahant is only the Arahant when the form and mind is still there, connected to that wisdom. Because without delusion, without ignorance, no rebirth consciousness exists to be. That's it, finished. Like the candlelight. You blow it off. You cannot ask a question, where did the light go to? Understand? No? You cannot ask, did the light go back to the wick or the candle? Or empty space. The light is just a condition arising entity. Condition ceases to be, it just ceases. And this one is dependent originating condition arising. That's why it's linked to karma. And when there is no more condition for karma to create rebirth, consciousness, that form of mind just ceases. And it's not a question of what happened to the Arahant's nature. There is no such thing. But when it continues with the birth and death, there is a karmic nature that is connected to all the summation of all the birth and death. Yes. But the moment you realize Arahantship and it ceases, it finished, just finished. Because there is no reality behind. So all this understanding, the normal sainthood way, they cannot really develop the understanding. The Arahant itself, the understand, cannot leave a story to tell after that. Because after it happened, it doesn't have the condition to come back in another form and mind. And it also don't have the stability of understanding to understand all this. But he got no more ignorant. Okay? That is an important fact. So what we want to emphasize is the advice from Brother Song. Don't take it lightly. Even at his condition, he still has to have the faith to strive on and to really determine. Even though he has connected, got 3 years already, you know? About 3 years already. Yeah. So I remember the first 2 months he got so much joy, the understanding keep on arising. Then after that he got so many questions also. Because after it happened already, the mundane might come back and talk to him. Understand? Then he keep on, I remember the earlier, he said, Vajil, how come it's so strange? After we connect already, we had it. But then, we still got this type of thing. Where that one is from the thought. And the thought will tell you a lot of things. Then sometimes he will have a lot of other things that come. So all this, if you have the faith, you have the understanding, if you just silent, reflect, contemplate, you will develop your own understanding. And finally, the question get dissolved by itself. Your nature understand. And the question cease to be. Yeah. But the moment you understand, the question cease to be. But this one will take a while to stabilize. Because as you go through the cultivation, this question will arise. And there are a lot of variation and possibility of it unfolding. Well, everyone is different. Then when you are new on the path and the way, like Brother Song's case is one of the unique cases. Well, he went ahead with the cultivation of that cycle of mind, the nature. But he go through chanting. He go through those ways. Then those ways, the wisdom part, those teachers and all those people who shared with him and taught him, they don't have that type of very penetrative Dhamma understanding to actually bring forth the wisdom to another level so that he can move. So in between, there must be condition where his nature realized he must have met some of this great being. Then he make the affirmation. That's why this sasana, it get fulfilled. Then he's struggling to break the thought, the subtle one behind. It's because that one has not been perfected. and understood or realized. That's why now the condition has unfolded for it to have the condition for your nature to understand. Then when this stabilizes, this life, when you make the affirmation again, then when you have it strongly planted in your nature with this understanding, even without sasana, you will have the understanding. And you won't have to go through like this life, get lost in other type of practice, then after that find the way again and no more. Yeah. So that is the one that you have to affirm. You must have this right understanding life after life, so that whenever you come, your nature will arise. That Bodhi seed that is planted, it will nurture itself and arise. Then you don't need anything more. Like Hui Ning, when he heard the truth, even as an illiterate, didn't go to school, he straight away connect one. He straight away understand one. Then like this line, when my nature come, technically I don't need teacher. The word technically. Because all these so-called teacher that I met, I didn't really learn from them. I didn't really have class or what, or attend to them or what. I just met them, hear them, talk to them. And we seldom have time to interact for long, except my second last teacher, who is a local Malaysian, where we have more time to interact. Apart from that, don't have much. Then also, they don't really teach you. They don't really. What my nature awakened to is some of the truth that they share with me. I only need some truth, some understanding of the truth. Then the moment the truth is spoken, straight away you understand. Straight away you understand. So all these are possible because of the vow, the aspiration, the past perfection and all those things. So when you need to have this condition, you have to plant them during the sasana, when the condition is most appropriate. That's why you wait for another maybe a few more weeks. When I finish the Bodhisattva vow transcript, now I am finishing the third one. There's one more to go. So once it's finished, you read through, you will understand. Okay, what's the time now? Oh, sorry, 6:08 already. We have to end. We sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, I'd like to thank Brother Song for the condition for us to have this beautiful sharing. So now we will recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed, and we will share all these merits with all beings who can receive them, starting with the devas. Akasata cha pumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa chirang rakantu loka sasana itta watta chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anamodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones.
let's expect the after 10th gradual for the profound shedding of the Dhamma, free mind to bow to the